the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terence fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic for today is standing firm in Islam. Today, Sunday, is the 30th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of a verse from the Holy Quran, that is verse 173. Of chapter An-Nisa.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Fa'ammal ladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihati fayuwaffihim ujurahum wa yaziduhum min fadlihi. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْتَنكَفُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فَيُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا وَلَا يَجِدُونَ لَهُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا.
And as for those who believed and did righteous deeds, He will give them in full their rewards and grant them extra from His bounty. But as for those who disdained and were arrogant, He will punish them with a painful punishment, and they will not find for themselves besides Allah any protector or helper.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Faith stands first and then there comes forth good deeds. Yet they are both together. Deeds without faith and faith without deeds do not cause felicity in heaven for us. If you wish to be godly, pay the complete wage to the workers who work for you, and even with a little more. Without having true faith and righteous deeds, you must not expect any intercession from the prophets.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi.
On the previous episode, we had a short part about standing firm on the path of Allah. Now this is the continuation. There is not any other way to reach Allah except to be on the straight path. And there is not any other command more difficult than to stay on the straight path. It is because of this difficulty that this command has been presented in the oft-repeated Surah Fatiha in the form of a prayer. The repetition of the prayer, show us the straight way, in chapter Al-Fatiha, verse 6, by Muslims dozens of times every day illustrates how difficult it is to stay on the straight path. The straight path is referred to in the Quran as the path of Allah. The proper way, the book of Allah, faith and issue related to faith, Islam and Sharia, the path of the Prophet Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt, the path of the righteous and the martyrs, the road of happiness in this world and the hereafter, and the path of paradise.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to remain steadfast in the right path. Other than being steadfast in the right path, on the right side, we find that this notion isn't something exclusively theoretical. Rather, it has had its manifestations in Islamic history. We find that in the event of Karbala and Ashura, Hazrat Abbas, that is Al-Abbas ibn Ali, Imam al-Hussein's younger brother, and the rest of Imam Hussein's companions and associates remained steadfast, although they knew well that on the ensuing day, that is on the day of Ashura, all of them would be martyred. They never left Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Rather, quite out of knowledge and knowingly, they chose that path and remained steadfast up to the last drop of the blood. And in this way, they got associated with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and at the same time, they fought the enemies of the Islamic religion. And at that time, the enemies of the Islamic religion found expression in the pro-Umayyad camp of Umar ibn Sa'd. Regarding the way that the Umayyad side behaved in the event of Ashura, we find that in the Holy Quran there's a phrase that applies to them. لَلَجُّ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ. It means that, they were insistent on being dissident against the right path.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture, that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Today again, as the previous episode of today's special, we're going to speak about means of steadfastness in Islam. I introduced the first one, adhering to the laws of Allah and doing righteous deeds. Allah says, interpretation of the meaning, of course it is, Allah will keep firm those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world and in the hereafter. And Allah will cause to go astray those who are polytheists and wrongdoers, and Allah does what He wills. As for the life of this world, Allah will help them to be steadfast in doing good and righteous deeds. And in the hereafter, He will help them to remain steadfast in the grave. This is clear, for how can you expect a steadfastness on the part of those who are too lazy to do righteous deeds when fitna raises its ugly head and calamity increases? But Allah will guide those who believe and do righteous deeds by their faith to the straight path. So the Prophet and the Imams used to persevere in doing righteous deeds, and the most beloved of good deeds to them were those that were continuous, even if they were small.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ
Let's look at the qualities of a believer in this part of today's special. No compromise on justice, even against oneself. This is a distinctive trait of the believers, even as seen among common Muslims. Here is a golden admonition from Allah as found on the walls of Harvard Law School. On you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witness to Allah, even though it be against yourselves, or your parents, or your kin. Be he rich or poor, Allah is a better protector to both than you. So follow not the lusts of your hearts, lest you may avoid justice, and if you distort your witness or refuge to give it, verily, Allah is ever well acquainted with what you do. You can find it in chapter An-Nisa, verse 135.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He keeps on encouraging us about al-Jannah and He tells us about the materialistic beauties of Jannah, the true goal of this isn't just about desires and temptations so that we go and we feel them and we enjoy them. It's not about the temptations and about satisfying the desires. It's much more than that. When Allah Azza wa Jal focuses on Jannah so much, how many verses in the Quran speak about Jannah? So many. How many ahadith? The point isn't just desires and satisfying them. There's a much greater goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants us to achieve those goals through encouraging us to yearn for Al-Jannah. What are the purposes of believing in Al-Jannah and asking Allah for Jannah? Yearning for Jannah. If my day revolves around Jannah, thinking about paradise, thinking about heaven, there are many great benefits that I will seek through that. The first purpose and benefit of believing in Al-Jannah is that the belief in Al-Jannah proves the justice of Allah Azza wa Jal. We said the fifth pillar of Usul al-Din is what? Al-Ma'ad, the day of judgment, Jannah and Nar, heaven and hell. The second pillar of Usul al-Din is Al-Adl. We, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, believe Allah Azza wa Jal is just. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not oppress any individual. And this is not only a belief, it's a fundamental belief. It's the second pillar of Islam, Usul al-Din. Now without Ma'ad, without the belief in Al-Jannah, the adl of Allah remains incomplete. Because you see, in this dunya, the justice of Allah Azza wa Jal isn't always established. It isn't always served. How many individuals, they commit oppression, zulm, and they get away with it. And the mazloom does not receive justice in this world, either because nobody knows about that zulm, or because we cannot serve justice. When you see the dictators and the tyrants, look at what Al Saud is doing right now to Yemen, the oppression. And nobody cares about it. Nobody cares about the Yemeni people. Who is giving them their justice? Allah Azza wa Jal's justice isn't always evident in the dunya. Where do we see the justice of Allah? In the next life, in the akhirah.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, in which we discussed about standing firm in Islam and means of steadfastness in Islam. Inshallah, we continue this on the next episode. Till then, Allah bless all of you and we leave you in Allah's protection.
Told me that I'm crazy. crazy who you're praying for. They told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him, narrates that his illustrious ancestor, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, when asked by a person on the rights of the father upon the son, said, he should not call his father by name. He should not walk ahead of him. He should not sit until his father has seated himself. And he should not do such acts as a result of which people abuse his father.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And this hadith is about wastefulness, israf. Specifically, it talks about the lowest form of wastefulness. We all understand that certain cases are definitely an instance and case of wastefulness, right? But there might be some instances where we might think that, no, this is not a case of israf and wastefulness. So here Imam elucidates upon the lowest degree of wastefulness so that we can know where wastefulness exactly begins and where we should be careful not to be wasteful. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when asked about the lowest degree of wastefulness, adna al-israf, he said the following: the lowest degree of wastefulness is to wear one's formal finery as casual wear at home, right? So wastefulness is not owning, you know, fancy clothes or formal clothes, which you buy for a formal occasion, like let's say you buy a tuxedo, right? You know, or a sherwani or something like that, a very formal and elegant dress, right, with the purpose of using it in a formal occasion. It's not an instance of wastefulness. But let's say you walk around in your house in your tuxedo or in your sherwani, right, or in your, you know, three-piece suit at home, or let's say that you go outside and you mow your lawn wearing your tuxedo. That is the case of wastefulness, right? You're wasting this, you know, finery and this formal, you know, dress as casual wear at home. Right? This is a case of wastefulness. Second thing Imam said, to spill out the remains of a container instead of finishing it. Right, let's say that you know, you're at the end of the jar of peanut butter. There's a little bit left in there, right? Instead of, you know, kind of scraping it out with the knife and eating it, you kind of, you know, throw it away and say, hey, we'll just go get another jar of peanut butter. Right, so this is another case of wastefulness, a very low, the lowest form of wastefulness that there is. Finally, the Imam alludes to another case. He says, and to eat the date and you throw the pits away here and there. Right, so I'm sure that the pits of the date, right, you know, I'm sure it has some use, right? But maybe the use of the pits of the date, right, the date seed, they're not really obvious and clear, right? So we might get confused and say, oh, this is, you know, garbage, let's just throw it away. Right? No, but if there is a way we can utilize it, maybe we can gather all these pits and sell it to a date farmer. He can plant them and, you know, make some date trees out of them, right? So, but throwing them away would be a very low form, and or rather the lowest form of wastefulness. Right, so these are the cases of wastefulness. We should avoid them. And obviously things that are more obviously cases of wastefulness than this are obviously forms and instances of wastefulness. We should also be careful of not falling into the traps of being wasteful in those cases. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at wastefulness in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa
وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Dear respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Habibullah Fasihizadeh with the Let's Recite the Holy Quran, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools
of
Network.
Of course, me.
Yeah, yeah. And also a group of, students of Sevier International School. I really welcome you all again. Thank you so much for joining us. So we have here Muhammad Hadi Naghawi and
Sayyid Muhammad
Hadi and Naghawi, yes. And we have Mahdi al Mahdi al Husseinan, right? And then we have Minhal Hussein Nasser, right?
Yeah.
And also
Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Ja'fari.
Great. Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Ja'fari. And of course, me again. Yeah. Habibullah Fasihizadeh here, okay? Welcome back, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Thanks for being with us. There is one next lesson that we are going to learn, which is the mad. We call it mad. You might have heard about it, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, Mahdi, what does mad mean? Do you know Arabic? What does it mean?
Yes, mad means like.
No, I mean, what is the meaning of mad in Arabic?
Mad means head. Means stretch.
No, not someone who is mad.
No, mad. Mad means stretch.
Oh, yeah. So mad means stretch. Have you seen like have you seen theraband?
Yeah.
Theraband. When you stretch it, okay? When you pull, okay, from two sides, it kind of stretches, yeah? It becomes longer. So this is called mad, right, Mahdi? Am I correct? So are you going to learn this or no?
Yeah.
So if you want to learn this, so recite a salawat. You look like a sleepy man.
Yes.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, inshallah, the next lesson is about mad. It means stretching or prolonging the sound, okay? Yeah. If you take a look, you might see some kind of signs, okay? Like lines, I mean, like what? Like a line rising and falling, okay? That
cap.
Kind of, yeah. Like
cap.
What?
Cap, like cap.
Like a cap, yes. Yeah. Like a front of cap, yes? Goes up and down. This kind of line, if you see, there is in page, do we have here? Yes.
Yeah.
In page 48.
Ya
ayyuhal ladhina. Amanu. On the top of wall, there is a sign.
Yeah.
There is a sign, there is a line, okay? We call this line mad.
Mad.
And it means that you have to prolong the sound of ooh. If it is aleph, okay? If it is a, e, u, whatever, it's fatha, kasra, dhamma, you have to prolong the sound. We had this natural mad. Do you remember?
Yeah.
We had alif maddi, waw maddi, and yai maddi. How much did you prolong it?
Two
counts.
So, but this one, 10 counts.
No,
six.
Four.
But this mad, yeah, it is different. Look, it is different. In some words, four counts. In some words, six. Okay, so usually four.
Yeah.
Understood?
Yeah.
So, if it is, if you have to prolong it like six counts, okay,
it becomes the sign itself is a longer one.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's you might everywhere. See.
Yeah. So now, how do you say you only prolong the sound? Yeah. Like, for example, you say...
You shouldn't say four times. You shouldn't say...
Yeah. So, for example, you say... like, fatha, if you produce the sound of fatha, now four times say them, this fatha, and join them together. Now join together. This much. This much, okay? Six counts now. You might hear...
No, sir, it's not.
You might hear some of the reciters, okay? They are saying like this, okay?
I can do.
Like this, you're right?
One of them.
No,
yeah, you're one of them.
Me too, I can.
Can you do it, Mahdi?
Yes, I can do.
Side?
You said I can recite
this.
وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء فأحيا به الأرض like this. So look, it is a little difficult, okay, to understand six counts or four counts or three counts.
Better four.
But usually, normally, randomly, okay, four. You have to do it four counts, okay?
Because the best example is alif lam.
No, there are six.
There are six counts, okay?
There are six.
Alif lam
mim. Sorry, there are six.
Okay, great. So, alhamdulillah, now you know what is mad. So now let's go and find. Go to page
50.
Page 50. Surah Ali Imran.
So I found two.
Three, two.
So, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. How do you recite Muhammad Yahya? One by one, we will go, okay? One by one, Muhammad Yahya, recite.
Alif.
Warab, a'udhu billah, bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam mim.
That's great. Why not alif? Alif.
Because you don't have mad.
It doesn't have mad. It doesn't mean you prolong it. Alif lam. Alif does not have mad, so you prolong the other sound.
Alif lam.
So, Minhal Hussein, the same thing, the same ayah? Alif lam.
Is this ayah?
Yeah, that's ayah. Yes, first ayah.
This much.
And this is also I.
Okay. Are you a human being?
Yeah.
You're this much?
Yes.
Alif lam mim.
Look, he's saying alif lam mim.
Look at this.
Alif, you have to cut. Lam. Separate. Mim.
Alif.
Separate.
Sir, I'm a good
man. Ahsan. That was. Mahdi. Alif lam mim. Recite.
Alif lam mim.
Ahsan, that was great.
Qur'ani nabdu hayati, Qur'ani tahra dhati, Qur'ani asmatu amri, Qur'ani tawqu najati. Qur'ani nabdu hayati.
How to learn Qur'an easy? What is the correct way to read the Qur'an? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Hadi?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Alif Lam Mim.
Ahsan, everyone after me repeat. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum.
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa
al-hayyul qayyum. Okay, one recited Muhammad Yahya. Listen to Muhammad Yahya. Recite it. Listen, there is a mistake. Go on. Again?
Allah.
Oh, why did you change? Your first time you said Allah, then said Allah. Why?
So because sometimes Allah, we should say Allah.
Okay, how do you recite this one?
Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum.
Okay, why don't you recite it? Allahu la.
Because sir, Allah some sir.
Because Allah is very great.
Yeah, Allah.
Sir, because behind Allah it is Akbar.
Okay.
Allahu la ilaha wa illa hayyul
what?
That was good. Allah, we were focusing on Allah.
La ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum.
So do you want to know why?
So because behind it is
now listen up, I tell you the reason, okay? Why you pronounce Allah heavily. Remember.
Allah is big.
Whenever
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, Allahu Akbar. Okay? But the reason of why do we recite it heavily is that, look, whenever you start reciting the Quran and the first word is Allah, you have to pronounce it heavily. That's okay. Allah. But the rule is this. Whenever Fatha or Dhamma comes before Allah, you have to pronounce it heavily.
But here is mad. It's not...
Wait. Shh. Look. Whenever Fatha or Dhamma comes before the word Allah, you have to pronounce it Allah heavily. Allah. But if Kasra comes before it, Allah.
What about Dhamma?
I told you. So Dhamma and
what
Fatha.
What about Mad? So here is Mad before. And Meme is Mad.
The ayah starts with the word Allah. You say, if you say like this, look. When you join these two ayahs, it becomes like this. Alif Lam Mim. Allahu la ilaha. Because that's a letter that does not have any harakat. Mim does not have a harakat. Alif Lam Mim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Okay.
Sure. I have a question. There's only one. There's only lam. There's no lam.
Where?
Like there's no la. There's only lam.
Allah. The word Allah.
There
are two.
When you say Allah, there's no like la. Like
fatha.
No. Because like the because we only have lam. You pronounce the lam like le. But there's no lam. Like you don't pronounce the lam that strong in there.
There are two lam. Look. It has a tashdid, a shadda. Look.
Allah.
Mahdi, look. Allah.
No.
Two lam.
Three lams.
Two.
Three lams.
Allah.
Huh? Allah.
No.
But like
Allah. No.
But in Allah, two lams and one he. And one lam has tashdid.
And before it has something.
I'm trying to say is there's no L in Arabic. Like, how are you supposed to pronounce it? There's no L.
What in the
There's no L.
Sir,
lam. Yeah,
so. But you're not Arabian.
Yeah. No, because the lam, it's you're like you Canabian. Pronounce it softly, but we don't, like, we...
Sir, he said...
So, inshallah, we will get back.
Don't tell me lam.
Okay, let's recite a salawat, but before we do that... Let's give a thanks to Xavier International School Network and also IRB
English
Radio. Inshallah, we'll get back. Stay with us. Recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajaha.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
When your horse returns to our camp riderless
أزور سيدي معتمدي ورجائي
The ocean of dua
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي
I did you Us to fend for ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of the Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyaratu Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyaratu al-Ashura. So stay with us.
وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this part of Ziyaratu al-Ashura. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ آلَ زِيَادٍ وَآلَ مَرْوَانٍ May Allah distance from His mercy the clan of Ziyad and the clan of Marwan. Now, in the previous episode, we started discussing the law of La'an based on what we see in the Holy Quran and in the traditions. We discussed the verse in which the Almighty Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ Now, in another verse, in chapter Baqarah, the Holy Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ Indeed, those who disbelieved and died in their state of disbelief, it is they on whom shall be the curse of Allah, the angels, and all mankind. Now, when we have a look at the traditions, specifically those in Usul Kafi, we come to realize that some of the companions of Holy Prophet, due to their denial of what the Prophet has said, left this world with no faith. So, hence, these companions had no faith. They denied what the Holy Prophet said. Curse of Allah, His angels, and all the people is on them. So, in conclusion, we can say the curse of Allah, His angels and all the people are on those who died while they were disbelievers. And there were some companions that died as disbelievers. And as a result, those are the ones who are cursed by Allah, the angels and all the people.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates him. He understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, there are other verses in the Holy Quran that the word la'an has been used. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Indeed, those who torment Allah and His Apostle are cursed by Allah in the world and in the hereafter, and He has prepared a humiliating punishment for them. Both Shi'i and Sunni scholars unanimously agree that this tradition of the Holy Prophet about Fatima al-Zahra is truly said, من آذى فاطمة فقد آذاني ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله. Whosoever torments Fatima has tormented me, and whosoever torments me has tormented Allah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is also reported to have said about Imam Ali alayhi salam, من آذى عليًا فقد آذاني. Whosoever torments Ali, he has tormented me. It is also important to know that there are some traditions that mention other categories of people whose disturbance would be tantamount to tormenting Almighty Allah and the Holy Prophet. For example, the Holy Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, من آذى والديه فقد آذاني ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله. Whosoever torments his parents has tormented me, and whosoever torments me has tormented Allah. And he continues, وَمَنْ أَذَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مَلْعُونَ. And whosoever torments Allah is cursed and, in true meaning, distanced from Allah's mercy. The Holy Prophet has said elsewhere, مَنْ أَذَى مُؤْمِنًا فَقَدْ أَذَانِي. Whosoever torments a faithful believer has tormented me, and whosoever torments me has tormented Allah. وَمَنْ أَذَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مَلْعُونٌ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالزَّبُورِ وَالْفُرْقَانِ. And whosoever torments Allah is cursed in the Torah, in Injil and Zabur, and also in the Furqan or the Holy Quran. We have also such a tradition about the neighbors. Whosoever torments his neighbor, then upon him be the curse of Allah, the angels, and all human beings. This is what the Holy Prophet says. مَنْ أَذَى جَارَهُ فَعَلَيْهِ لَعَنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Let us have a look at this tradition of Rasulullah as the last one to mention. مَنْ أَذَى غَازِيًا فَقَدْ أَذَانِ. The Holy Prophet says, whosoever torments a warrior in the way of Allah, he has tormented me. وَمَنْ أَذَانِي فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. And whosoever torments me, Allah will prohibit him from paradise and his abode will be hellfire. This meaning that the Holy Prophet says, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ could be the same as being distanced from Allah's mercy, which means they're practically the same, and this is the true meaning of لَعْن. This is what we understand when we have a comparison between different types of traditions. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For humanity. We are looking at human beings in the Quran. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at human beings? Because unless we understand who we are, I don't think we will be able to give each other our rights. Now, how are human beings depicted in the Quran? Are they good? Are they evil? Or are they neither? Good or evil. We just, as we could use this word these days, binary. We just binary. Okay, human beings, they've been shown in the Quran as double-natured creatures, semi-light and semi-dark.